So what's on your mind, Derek?
I just made a list of things that we've been able to accomplish since the last time we talked, and then things you could probably help us with going forward. So you tell me, where do you want to?
Well, one of the things we talked about was the directorships, right? IRVEA, assigned jobs and responsibilities. So pick it up anywhere along there.
Okay. Well, we were able to reach out and connect. Johnny did a great job setting us up with VEA. And so we met with Carlos. And so we're in the queue to get that started. And so I think we probably ought to follow up, Johnny, because it's been, that's been a couple weeks now, hasn't it? At least.
Yeah, I'll follow up with Carlos today.
Yeah, we can just send him an email. But he said there was about a two week lag time to get going. Johnny can't do it until he gets his number in May. So it's not that far away, but
right.
So we'll start working on mine, and then we'll roll him into it as we go. But yeah, it was really good conversation. So we're excited about connecting with him. So as much as they mention it with the firm, it took you mentioning it, Rob. And I feel like that's the way with a lot of the advisors. Unless somebody specifically puts it on their plate, they don't take advantage of it. They don't know to take advantage of it.
Well, and it's like, let Johnny try it, right? It's sort of like, there's so much, the blessing is that there's so much they offer. The question is, what's it going to, I'm busy, I'm full, I don't have time. What's this going to do for me, right? And until somebody like me comes along and says, hey, this is a win-win, no loss, nothing. It's
very, very inexpensive. I mean, that is one of the most blatant things I can see, or the most obvious leverage items I can see in our business. Besides asset management, golly.
If you hired a guy for that, it'd be a lot. I mean, I'll tell you, people spend a lot of money on those people.
Yeah, and here's a little thing he dropped on us at the end of the meeting: is it's 50% off for producing branch managers. So.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
So literally, it's like, $150 a month? Like, that's insane. So, anyway, yeah. So, I've got a few other guys in the office that are going to reach out to him as well and just do an exploratory kind of meeting with him. So
yeah, it's just a bonus. It's a great program. I told you, he started with six guys. Yeah. Now he's got 60. I don't know. Maybe he's got 120 now. But it would be a great way, I'm working on this diversity project. Here's a great way to, improve our diversity by planting these guys out there, giving them a lot of experience, create real value, and then saying, would you like to have him on your team? and Carlos intends, I think, last conversation I had with him, to teach these guys financial planning too, get their CFPs eventually. So then they become very attractive members of any team.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the model I was using for our project to create this value before they ever join a team, rather than having just somebody join as a rookie,
Yeah. Yeah. Very helpful.
Yeah.
Okay, what else? These are just things I wrote. We did kind of go through and revamp the folders. That was helpful. So we've got the shells of the folders, and we're filling those in as we go. We went through the client folders, and we got very focused on what we want to present to the clients, and I think that was very good. And it helps with Johnny being a client, of course, too, because he's real time talking about it. Went through the segmentation in the book, and we got kind of hard segmented again, where I had written everything down and gone through my reasoning and things like that. I went through it again, sort of redid the exercise, and that was helpful as well.
Great.
We've got to finish some of the folders, but we're about there. Standardizing the investment process, I've pretty much already done that. So we did take another look at it. We're going to have to sort of formalize our, because I've got the 24-month calendar that I did previously, but Johnny and I need to sit down and go over that together. The things that we're still working on are, organizing the appointments. Johnny did do the, had a meeting with Cindy, and she taught him the appointment tool, and he picked up on it quicker than I did, which is nice.
Great.
Let's
see. It can be a big help. That's critical to this whole process. Just getting it all organized so you don't end up with a bunch of appointments in one day, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so, super user friendly too.
That's great.
Yeah, it's good that you see it that way. So yeah, and I think so too. So he understands some more of the functionality, and also he has experience with things like Salesforce, but really with scheduling meetings through Outlook and things that I'm okay with, but I'm not that great. I'm okay at setting up my own calendar, but sending invites and that kind of stuff to clients. So I'm excited about what we're going to do with that going forward.
Yeah, that's a huge help. I hate it when I have an appointment and I don't have an invite. And I use Outlook and, I find it rude that I've got an appointment without an Outlook appointment on my calendar. So I know that sounds mean on my part, but you get so spoiled by being organized to not have, when somebody says, okay, let's have this appointment. And I say, okay, will you send me an Outlook invitation? They go, sure. And, that just ends it, right? And then I accept it, and I know it's real. And it's not something one of the biggest challenges that you have in business is staying organized. And if you can help your clients to stay organized, and especially as a retired person, I do this, so I stay pretty sharp. But, I just had my 75th birthday, and somebody 75 or 80 is not going to have the amount of recall that the young person has. And so having that on their Outlook calendar is worth teaching them Outlook, getting them.
Yeah. And it'll be interesting to see how many of my clients, give me good feedback on that.
Yeah. If they use Microsoft, then they have, is that right, Johnny? If they have Microsoft, if they use Microsoft, they have Outlook, right? Is that?
I'm pretty sure that's the case, unless, Microsoft 360 or 365 or whatever it's called is subscriber based. So I don't know if that includes Outlook with the base package or if that's the subscriber portion. But if nothing else, you can also do the same thing through Google Calendar as well.
Yeah, and I have both, so I try not to look at my Google Calendar because Outlook is plenty, But that's good.
So can you? I guess you could have overlaps, right?
Yeah,
conflict if you had both calendars.
No, it should show up and right. It's not gonna cross mess you up, is it?
No, it'll give you duplicate calendar invites. So if you have Outlook and Google Calendar, it'll just show the same appointment across both, but it all depends on which email address it's sent to and which email address is pulling to the calendar.
Right. Good.
So, Rob, on some of this, what was on my mind, I think there's this new role, right, of Johnny and I working together that I've got to get used to. It's like me being responsible for somebody more than just myself, you know, with my own business. So I don't know if you've had to touch on that with other advisors doing this or new to teams. I've sensed that because he's got plenty to keep him busy, but we're also, he's up in Atlanta and down here. And so there's a lot of physical stuff we can do, like with the folders and things like that. But he's also really fast. I mean, he gets things done extremely quickly. So I was trying to go to think back on what's the best use of our time when we are together. And maybe you give us some suggestions on that, because my thoughts were actually backtracking a little bit and just going through in kind of a quick way, you know, the 12 weeks that we did when we started Supernova. So that takes us all the way through, and we can kind of dot the I's, cross the T's on every single step, if you thought that was a good idea or not a good idea.
I mean, that's a great idea, but let's go back to the directorships. Cause that's where you get some leverage. You know, one person, there's the director of everything, right? But when you have two people, you give, you know, you don't abdicate, but you you give responsibility to somebody. And then you advocate for them by, you know, following up and making sure that they understand that role and responsibility. You coach them on it. But the idea is that you give someone else on your team responsibility for one of the stars. So director of planning, you know, director of implementation, brand management, marketing, and leadership. So you would clearly, Derek, maintain your position as director of leadership. But then, you know, Johnny would take on what? Planning, marketing, whatever. What are you thinking about?
I think initially it would be planning and implementation, right, Derek?
Yeah, I think that's what we've talked about, you know, here initially for sure. And then as we outsource some of the stuff to like Carlos with VEA, from the marketing, we would just have to get our arms around what the marketing piece looks like, right? Because I could see marketing being in here, but I just want to know what are we doing? What are the activities that we're going to be doing? And Rob, I will say too, Johnny's got a lot of experience that I don't have. I mean, in his sales roles, he has utilized tools that I never utilized, and has, you know, he's got sort of a more current sales process than I do. So, which is awesome. And so sometimes I just don't know. I don't know what I don't know, you know, as far as the resources that he brings. And I guess we'll learn the things that are translatable into our business. And so sometimes my scope of thinking is limited, but then like if it's, hey, it's a good idea about VEA, well, he did the whole thing. I mean, he set it up, got the meeting, organized everything, and next thing you know, we're on the phone with a guy and getting it done, which is incredibly helpful. So what else can I leverage, you know?
Well, I would do that. I would have Johnny be in charge of planning, have him in charge of implementation, the creating the 24-month calendar. You, of course, are going to, you know, still run the investment process, but you can be teaching him the investment process and, you know, how you select your managers, what you're, you know, I like to think of it as a matrix, like we have a boxes here, right? The investment process is made up of boxes of investments and you asset allocation models, based on size and style. And that should be literally there for both of you to use in front of you. This is our model. We don't take on a new manager, we'd have to eliminate one of these managers. So we don't want to, so you supernova your investment process and get it down so that you're really focused on who's the best international representation for us and growth and value, who's our best GARP manager, who's our best value manager, who's our best growth manager in mid, small, and large cap. So you kind of have those all sort of lined up, and then, you know, depending on the client's risk tolerance, you pick and choose from those, but you always are balancing those out so that you don't have underperform. I mean, you know, we're seeing right now where looks like value is going to have a pretty good year this year, and growth is going to have a, you know, fair year, but it's probably going to be flat, or value is going to outperform. So if we're all in growth, because we like growth, you know, we miss a couple good years. You know, the separation between growth and value has been 7, 8, 9 years now. So, you know, that doesn't mean that value is going to outperform forever, but they'll have a couple of decent years where they catch up. And that's the sort of thing you want to come together on as a part of your presentation. Why do we pick this? How do we do this? How is this good in good and bad markets? And so forth. So that's the director of implementation, but they're also in charge of the 24-month calendar, which is partly marketing, but it's partly content for education and training of the client. And so, you know, you get pretty soon when you get a $2 million rollover, you're kind of set, right? So what do you talk about? Well, let's talk about long-term care and why that might make sense or not. But that's going to be on the calendar for next. So then, you know, Johnny's in charge of getting that ready. Everybody's going to hear about it. We're going to send them part of our agenda that we send out to them is going to have a brochure or something on long-term care. And we're not there to sell long-term care. We're here to educate clients on why long-term care is important and where it fits in and when that would be a blessing to have versus not, right? Even for wealthy people, you know, the conflict of interest between the children keeping the money and helping mom with a nice place to live is real. And so long-term care prevents that. So you get out of the business of feeling guilty as a child and guilty as a parent. So it eliminates the guilt and everybody just feels great. You know, mom's got a nice place and it's not coming out of our pocket. So there's a
Johnny,
lot.
That might also be establishing our long-term care contact. So.
Right.
So
that when we write the ticket, we know how to do it. We know what, you know, John Hancock, who we're using now, you know, and
right,
how do I actually
right.
write the ticket? So that's the preparation that goes on the month, not in the month of long-term care, the prior month.
Mm-hmm.
So whether we're doing Dynasty Trusts or, you know, something that's interesting that we're going to talk about that month, we're prepared. We're prepared. We have a brochure, and the clients are then prepared to talk about it because they've read the brochure. Okay. So now we're getting really constructive conversations going on that we get better at selling. We get better at presenting because we practice and we do it over 100 clients rather than over 2. You know? So when we do mortgages, we call that batch processing. So when we do mortgages, we want to talk to everybody about their mortgage that month. And then, but keep in mind, when we activate a monster like that, we're going to have months of follow-up, right? So we never have 2 months. Some topics like the outlook for the new year is a rational one to have 1 month. But when we're introducing mortgages or long-term care, we want to have 2 months to follow, you know, a month to present and a month to follow up.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not making yourself crazy by keeping everything.
Right.
It's a new product, you know. And now we got all this follow-up to do, and now we're just making – then we don't like it. I want you to like the process.
Mm-hmm.
So if you say mortgages are a 3-month period, we're not going to introduce anything, fine. It's your calendar. Do as you wish with it. But I like
That would be if you recommend that for like the quarterly meetings. That way it kind of gives us kind of that longer time frame to talk about it, and then the next month or two can be kind of followed. I think that's kind of what you're suggesting, right?
You could do it that way. Or, you know, 2 months would be the minimum if you're going to use a product like mortgages. Okay, but kind of lay out the whole 24-month calendar, because keep in mind, many of the items on there are going to be calendar-driven. So like November and December are going to be required minimum distribution,
RMD.
Tax selling, RMD, tax selling, and all the other things that, you know, you just don't want to bang into those months, because that's a lot of work for you. And you tell me what, you know, what is calendar, are IRAs, you know, in April still an issue? I don't know. You know, that's the sort of thing you guys need to know, and you can set that up. I like the 24-month calendar rather than just saying quarterly, because there's some things, like I said, that are only 1 month.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So actually, yeah, layout,
that kind of stuff.
Now, if you look in the workbook, you'll see a 24-month calendar actually laid out there. And rather
I've got one based on that too, Rob. So that it's just going to be bringing it to life, Johnny. And I think that's something that's good to think about, how to use, you know, some time that can be beneficial to the clients and to us too. So.
Right. So when you say, you know, okay, we're a team now, how do we operate as a team? Or da da da. Start with the five-star model: director of planning, implementation, brand management, marketing, and leadership. And then the Friday meeting that you guys have to get, I mean, you should meet for a few minutes every day and just talk, 10 minutes, right? What's going on? What do we need to follow up on? Monday meeting is all about marketing. So that would be your, you know, Carlos meeting plus whatever else you're marketing, you know, and then the Friday meeting is going through the five stars, and rather than just saying, how's it going? Let's just stick with our roles and responsibilities and go through that. So Johnny, bring me up to date on planning versus the goals we've set. Bring me up to date on implementation versus the goals we've set. Okay, this is a 24-month calendar. This is what we're doing, da, da, da. And then brand management would be operations and service, how the folders and, you know, the Supernova calendar, and then operations, problems, solutions, anything holding us up. And then marketing is Carlos plus our own initiatives. You know, we want to create a pipeline, okay? And that would be, the Monday meeting would be Carlos plus the pipeline, basically. Who's in the pipeline? Where are they? When are they coming out? And do we have sufficient number of prospects in our pipeline to reach our goals? And so you're constantly filling the pipeline, killing the pipe, things in the pipeline, as well as, you know, getting them out at the end and pop, they were. So, a lot of people like to do that and keep track of the assets that we have coming in, as part of that pipeline. You know, new business assets, kind of rather than this magic hope idea by maintaining a pipeline, you're actually, which you should look at every day, which is real. You know, this is my real money coming in. And then leadership is development. So Derek should have a folder on each teammate, meet with them monthly separate from any other meeting, and talk about, are you overwhelmed? Are you liking this? What's going on? How you doing in your roles and responsibilities? Is it too much? Do you want more? You know, what, are you bored? Are you happy? And
right.
What are you doing personally and professionally to develop yourself? And what are your goals? You know, personally and professionally. Set those
so
goals.
So I think as we talk about those, that, I'm sorry, Rob, the Monday and Friday meetings for sure. I think, Johnny, we need to almost have like an agenda, like as we're talking for those meetings. So we're just ticking them off. I mean, just until we get really comfortable, you know, going through each one of those things. that might help us develop. It would help me develop some structure. So I'm like, okay, we talked about that. We talked about this. We talked about that. So we know going into it what we're gonna discuss, and that'll help with the accountability piece too. Yeah.
Your sure. Productivity goes way up doing this stuff. I mean, it's just life. You just miss things, right? You just stop working on something because it's not in front of you. So we want to be constantly reminding ourselves of our priorities. We can't do it all, but now this is a priority. Let's get this done. Okay, good. Then we all feel great, right? I got about 50 things around this house I'm going to get to, right? But what's the priority?
Right. Which one do you start with?
What do I do today, right?
So with that, Rob, I've got a good bit of kind of flexible time because I'm doing more online trainings than anything else. And so it gives me a lot of freedom to do a lot of the administrative stuff. The challenge that we're running into is because I'm not in production yet, I don't have access to all the systems. So a lot of times I'll end up like running into a roadblock where Derek has to actually go into the system and find this report or print it out. Are there any suggestions for you about activities that don't necessarily have to use like a system for it, that could be done so that way I can help provide some value to Derek without adding more responsibilities on his plate?
Yeah, I mean, I think you could have some fun. It sounds like you're a good marketing guy and using technology, right? So I would, I'd spin up Derek in terms of LinkedIn and make sure that both you and he are fully invested in LinkedIn, that you have all the different qualifications to be, a pro on LinkedIn. And then you can actually do some homework in terms of connecting clients. Get a list of people to connect to, and then connect all the clients to Derek and make sure that they're, and then Derek can then go in and look at the client and then all the people that he works with. And then when he says, by the way, if there's, don't keep us a secret, and the guy says, I love what you're doing. This 1242 is fabulous. And say, I was just noticing on LinkedIn that you're connected to, Johnny Smith. Do you think that'd be a good connection for me? I'd love to meet him. Yeah, he'd be a great guy. He does the same job, or he's a wonderful guy. And now you got yourself a referral. And LinkedIn is great for money in motion, which is people getting promoted, getting all kinds of things happening to them in their life. All these red letter days, they're all on there. And those are opportunities, right? They retire, red letter day, opportunity. And so you can do a lot of forensic work, getting a lot of knowledge about what's going on with the client base. Derek might not ever know about. And so that's very helpful. And, have your own kind of your, and then upgrading the website, which is what the VEA will do, and they'll help you with LinkedIn. But I think just kind of getting a jump on that might be something. If I had the time, I would probably spend more time doing it. And then coming up with creative marketing ideas, what can we do marketing wise? In our community Derek's very involved with social networking in terms of community involvement. And those are other networks. And so connecting to those networks in the community through LinkedIn can be very helpful. Just people don't think about those connections. Let's get all those people connected. Then it becomes easy for them, if they decide they want to hire him, to find him, right? Because they're already connected to him.
And, so, Robert, our other advisors, I was just going to ask, do we go through – so one of the things I have not done, it's been very selective, is – going through the entire client base and connecting on LinkedIn, you know, and also deleting. There might be a good review of who all is in my LinkedIn network and deleting, you know, being much more thoughtful about who's actually in the network. Because I've got, I mean, Rob, you know, we get blasted by wholesalers and branch managers and recruiters and all that stuff too, which I've done. I think I've done a fairly good job of keeping that down, but it would be a good review. That's something we definitely could do.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about that too much because, you know, when you post something, you know, somebody else reposts it, you get a lot more visibility. So, you know, don't worry about the overwhelming number of posts on LinkedIn. You can, you know, you don't have to spend much time on that. You just really want to focus on increasing the number of people that you have on LinkedIn so that when you post and you have something important to say, you get a good audience.
Okay. Okay.
That's more important. It's not like segmenting your book. I wouldn't waste much time on segmenting LinkedIn because you're not gonna spend much time on there. You know.
And Derek, I can work with you on that one. There's a couple of suggestions that have popped up in some of the trainings for what some of the successful FAs have done that has helped kind of increase their business by using LinkedIn. So I've got a couple of ideas with how we can use that as a leverage for us, but right now I'm limited on what I can do on my end because until I get my production number, I don't think
right,
I can link my
right.
account yet, but you should be able to delegate some of your responsibilities over to me so that way I can kind of help manage your social media presence.
Okay. We can find out about that.
Yeah. And one of the things is to try and determine what your niches are going to be. So Johnny, you could start building out a few folders on niches that Derek says, you know, this is one of my niches. This is, you know, another niche, Total Systems, Aflac. Those are niches. We probably haven't made progress on those just because, you know, we've been busy. But those can you kind of want to put those right into the calendar, the scheduler, and have them pop up and work on those. So you build a folder for each one and you try and determine who's a good center of influence inside each niche. And you can use your community involvement also. They are technically niches. So each one of those can have a folder and inside each one is a center of influence. And then monthly you want to be thinking about, even though I'm involved and I go to my meetings for this Kiwanis or something, who's my center of influence in there? And how do I turn that into more of a opportunity to develop business? So maybe I want to have, you know, in a normal world, I want to have lunch with one person from Kiwanis every month, just to build my relationships on a personal basis, rather than just going to meetings. Okay. And that's the same with church, and that's the same with whatever you're involved in.
That's what we used to do in the fraternity. And they had to get them all to sign our paddle.
That's it. You got to make friends. You got to get elected. That's the idea. You want to operate as if you're running for mayor and you want to get elected. But in each organization, you want to be elected president. So how do you do that? You get them to each like you. And so you meet with them privately and, you know, find out about them, be interested in them. And then they're interested in you and then they'll sign your paddle.
Sounds like your dad, doesn't it, Johnny?
Oh yeah. And I still have my fraternity book that's got all the signatures in it, so.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, good. Well, I think this gives us some direction, Rob, that I needed.
Yeah, what happens is, guys, your dad and you and you're what we call unconsciously competent. You just do it, right? You don't know. Nobody taught you that. You just kind of learned it along the way. And what we want to do is sort of define what it is. What is that? What are those steps that you take to be, you know, successful? Why was he so successful? Well, he did these things, but he didn't know he was doing them, right? He was just networking. He was just, he'd been taught, somebody told him, go and meet the people, right? And, the same thing here. We just want to raise our consciousness because people will say, you know, I was good. I was working on that, you know, a year ago, but then I just stopped. Right. And that's the key. And then I just stopped. Oh, that worked great. And then I stopped. Why? I don't know. I just stopped because you get busy and it's a little more work and you got to be organized. So that's where our scheduler comes in, and that folder pops up whether we like it or not. And we got to work for an hour on that because that's our plan, right? It's scheduled for an hour. We're going to work an hour on that. So then in that hour, you creatively think about that niche and you say, okay, I got one center of influence. I got to get another one. I'm going to call this guy and ask him out to lunch. I met him and I enjoyed him, and you know, we both play tennis or whatever. Let's do something. And so that's how you do it. That's how you get to be president of each organization, which is actually your goal. Because that means they respect you enough. And then once you're president, they see you operate and be efficient and effective, then they will send you their business. Before that, not so much. Very interesting. They kind of watch you and say, is this guy in it just for the business? Is he in it just for the business, or is he in it because he really wants to help us?
Yeah, I can look back. DTA president, deacon board. I mean, it's all these different things. That's exactly what happens. So.
Yeah. Okay. Is that enough? Give you guys a minute to get a coffee in between here.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
It's good. That's good. Yeah, I don't think we need to go back through each chapter, but we can touch on them. You know, we can, you know, the important thing, I mean, the organization, the structure, the folders, segmentation, we can cover that, kind of read through that, Johnny, read through that workbook. You can even watch the videos, and then come up with questions. The other is, you know, the seven strategies for acquiring new business. That's in the Supernova Multiplier. So you can read that. You should probably, Johnny, you should read all three books. That's
What's the third one? I've got the Multiplier and Supernova.
And you teams, Supernova Teams.
Okay.
And that's where all this stuff comes in, all this teaming stuff. We covered in the Multiplier, but we really, you know, a lot more detail on the teams things. So that's it's a little bigger book, and you can use that as a textbook on, you know, now that we're doing this, what do we do? Let's read the chapter on compensation. Let's read the chapter on acquiring new team members. Let's, you know. So we've kind of tried to give you everything that you would need. If you just read the books, you probably could pull off Supernova, but we all know that having an answer person and interpreting the material is as important as reading it. But it's all there. And sometimes if you get it in audio too, so, you know, listen to it, listen to each chapter, read it, listen to it. You just kind of hear a different thing each time. Mm-hmm. So when you're working out, instead of listening to music, listen to me.
Cool. Just bought the third one on Audible right now.
Awesome.
I use it for when I'm driving.
Yeah, it's really good. I used to listen to Success Motivation Institute, and they'd say, listen to each chapter once a day for 5 days. And then you got it. Then you own the words. A lot of times it's getting the words down. You can't do too much. I always was a big guy on listening to tape everything. Every day on the way to work, listen to all the tapes. I memorized all that stuff. It's just helpful. I'm better because of it.
Yeah. You are. I mean,
yeah,
I get the end result, so thank you.
You're very welcome. It's just, you know, it's just the way my brain, and what happens is sometimes when you tune into the tape, you're driving, and that's the last thing you heard. You now your mind's working on something else, but it started you thinking about the business and what you need to do. So it sort of, instead of your brain being off and worrying about the Queen of England or something, you're thinking about business, which is what we should be thinking about when we're engaged. Okay. Hey, great
time.
Right. Welcome, Johnny. Love having you on here. It's great. Appreciate it. Bringing a different dimension.
Thank you, guys. Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it too.
All right.
Thank you, Rob.
Thanks, buddy.
Have a good one.
See
you in a month. Okay. Bye.